Ephesians chapter 1, looking at verse number 15 down through verse number 23. Apostle Paul here in the book of Ephesians, verse 15 of chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all." That filleth all in all. Let's pray as we begin this message tonight. Lord, we do thank You again for this opportunity to open Your Word. We thank You for the truth that we have, the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me." We thank You for the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for our sins. And we'll look in just a little while here in this message at what we are in Jesus Christ, what our position is in Christ. But as we look at this theme tonight, Lord, I pray that it would challenge our hearts. I pray that we would be strengthened, Lord, that we would have the power that we need to serve You and to live for You. Again, Lord, it's my prayer that if there's a lost person, somebody who does not know Christ as their Savior, tonight they would be saved. Lord, for the Christians, would You revive us, strengthen us, convict us of sin, Lord, that needs to be dealt with tonight. Lord, we pray that You would just help this message. Help me as I preach. I pray for Your wisdom, for Your guidance. Lord, just touch my voice that the message would be clear. Lord, that my spirit would be in tune with Your spirit. The message would come through clearly as You'd have it to. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you a question, and you can answer it there. I won't hear you. But have you ever felt weak? Have you ever felt weak? And I think many of us, possibly even right now, you are feeling weakness. It could be that maybe in your life you've faced a task that you just felt unable to accomplish or to complete that task. You know, when we're a bit younger, and I guess I'm still young. I don't feel as young as I used to be. But we were maybe more apt to take on a more of a challenging task. But there's sometimes that we're just faced with the reality that we're just too weak to accomplish the task. It could be that you've felt weak as your body maybe has just become tired or exhausted from just spending so much of your energy in a day. No doubt at times your body has been stricken with some illness, and you've become very weak as your body was fighting to maintain its life. Through this time of COVID, people have survived, thankfully. People have come through, and their body has fought, but there's been much time that was needed for the body to recover. And maybe you've gone through some severe illnesses, and your body has just become very weak in its fight for life and to battle back, but eventually you would come through. You know, when I think of the human body and its capabilities, I marvel at how God has made us. God made us to function and interact within the world that He so masterfully created. You think about creation and how God put everything together, even creating the animals, all before mankind was made. And then God would place mankind within that garden, in the place that He would allow us to enjoy and allow us to get involved with and interact with. And it's amazing what God has allowed us to do as human beings. When you look at all man has accomplished, knowledge and advancement, first of all, I think we can know that we did not come from an ape man. We did not come from a man that was part monkey. If you compare man to monkey, you realize that monkeys do not do surgeries. They don't put people in space. They don't build buildings like we do. There's really no comparison. And we're not going to discuss the evolution topic tonight, but I want to encourage you to marvel at the creation of God and marvel at the creation specifically of mankind. We can say with David in Psalm 139 and verse number 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It is amazing what, now quote, in quotes, quotation marks, we can accomplish within our human bodies. Yet at times as well, we can become weak. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now sadly, we live within a world that around us that hates to admit its own weakness. Most of us like to hide as many weaknesses as we have as possible. Now we might admit some, but some we'd like to hide those things away. Many would never want to show that they can't take the challenge or to find the solution. Think about it. To admit that God exists would be like saying that we can't do this on our own. To recognize that there is a higher power than mankind would be to recognize that man can fall short. Dear friend, we are weak, and we do need the Lord. We need Him in every part of our lives. If you're tonight watching this and you're a skeptic, or you might even say that you're an atheist, dear friend, you desperately need the Lord. You need God in your life. You might be able to push Him out by philosophies and ways of thinking, but when it comes down to reality, where many people have come to within this COVID situation, they have realized how feeble and how helpless mankind can be at times. And those are the times that we must recognize the Creator God that made us and the One that gives us a purpose and a reason to function and to live here on earth. Dear friend, we are weak. We desperately need the Lord. Anchor Baptist Church family, I pray that during this time, these 30 days that we're going through this journey together, I pray that God is teaching you through this journey that we are on to completely depend on Him. Those times when you're faced with the physical weakness, that it would drive you to remind you to seek the Lord and to seek His direction. Weakness brings us to a point where we recognize His power. Tonight I want to look at the word power and three of the root words that in the New Testament this word was translated from. We will look at a king in the Old Testament that eventually faced the reality of his weakness. And we will also look at the power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we are weak, then we can truly be strong. But when we are strong, then we are weak. Tonight, we look at this thought. When I make it about me, I lose. It's a complicated title, but think about it. When I make it about me, I lose. These last several weeks and these several months, I've tried to think of ways that we can minister and help as the youth pastor of this church, trying to reach our teenagers and trying to keep them actively involved in our virtual Sunday school classes. And it's been overwhelming. Setting up live stream and trying to have all of this going and just trying to figure it out. The Lord continues to remind me that it's not about me. It's not about my work. It's not about what I can do. But it's all about what God can do. What God can do through the simple preaching of His Word. In the home where you are, wherever you may be, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful. We trust in the almighty power of the work of God. And God has just brought to my memory so much these last several months. Nathan, I want to work through my spirit in you and not in the sense of your strength, of who you are. On May 30th, 2020, the SpaceX program launched two of NASA's men into space on a historical flight to eventually dock in the International Space Station. And if you've had any interest in space exploration, I find rocket launches truly amazing. And then to eventually guide those things in space and to have them meet people in space there in the space station, I think it's amazing to think what man has been able to accomplish. knowledge that God has given to men to accomplish such amazing things. To read of this definitely puts us in awe of man's ability. Yet sadly, stories like this have led men over and over to a place where they reject God. In the sense that, I don't need God. Look at what I've been able to do. I have all the money that I need. I have all the cars that I want. I have the house that I want. I've got it all, and I've got it all without having God in my life. Now, we understand that God allows the blessings of rain to fall on the evil and the good. I'm not saying if you have those things that you're evil, but don't think that God is necessarily blessing you within your evil doings. God allows those things to come, and one day judgment will come. But don't just excuse the fact that you have an ability. Look, that ability can be taken away from you in a matter of a heartbeat. You could have a stroke and never again have the same abilities that you had, that you have right now, that could drastically change your way of working, your way of going about your life. Every heartbeat that you have, every breath that you take is a precious gift from the Lord God Almighty, the one that created us, the one that created you, the one that knows your body, that knows you. Also, in space exploration, many years ago on Christmas Eve, 1968, Apollo 8 orbited the moon. I believe it was the first time. And the astronauts Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman read Genesis 1, 1 through 10. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They read that for all to hear on television. My friend, in the rising of mankind, may we never forget God, the one who gives us every breath and every heartbeat that we have. May we never forget God, and may we always be weak in ourselves in His sight. Samuel the prophet stood before King Saul after Saul had sinned and disobeyed God. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 17, he said this, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." You remember Saul when he was going to be anointed, he was hiding. They had to find Saul. And here's the man that stood head and shoulders above everybody else, but they couldn't find him when it was time to anoint him. And yet there came a point when he was proud, when he thought he could make the decision apart from what God had commanded him. And Samuel was used of the Lord to stand before him and remind him, look, God anointed you when you were little in your sight. You read about the kings in the Old Testament and you see how many of them started out well, but I don't know if it was the power that got to their heads, their position, their authority that they had, but eventually they fell and they lost the blessing, and eventually they would possibly even lose of their throne. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And that chapter begins to go on from there and deals with the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle that we fight against the devil and the demons that work alongside of him. Tonight I want to look at these thoughts of power and remind us as people how much we desperately need the Lord. But to call on you tonight that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, look, before you can ever benefit from the power of the life-changing power of God within your life, you have got to come to the point of salvation. First of all, tonight we're going to look at the word power by definition. Power by definition. Three of the words that are used that are translated from Greek into the word power that we find in our King James English Bible. The first one is the word exousia. Exousia. This word has to do with authority. Again, these words are translated power most of the times within the New Testament. This first one, exousia, is the authority or the power of authority or of influence, of right or privilege. You could take, for example, a police officer. And that police officer has no position of authority when he's off the clock. I don't believe you can get pulled over by an off-duty police officer. But as soon as he puts on his badge, as soon as he puts on his uniform, as soon as he is in that position, he has authority. And you better pull over when he gets up behind you, and you better follow what he does, because he has that power, that position of authority. The second word we look at is this word dunamis. Dunamis. And this is the one that we often hear spoken of, the word dynamite. We relate to that word and the power that it has. This is about ability. It's about force or strength or power. And then this, basically, you could think, maybe you'd make the statement, I can do that. That is something that I have the ability to do. And then thirdly is the word kratos. Kratos. And this is the word that means strength or the strength of the power available. You could look at it this way. Somebody may have power, but the strength of that power may be limited. Maybe you've been in a place where you've had what's called a brownout, where your electricity, your lights got very dim, and the color was possibly very yellow or that creepy kind of a feeling that you get. And you realize, hey, we have power, but we don't have much strength within that power. We don't have strength to be able to run our lights correctly. You shouldn't have your electronics on during that time. They can't run correctly. So we're looking at these three words, exousia, dunamis, and kratos, through this. Let's look at some appearances of these words here in this Bible study tonight. First of all, we go to our text here in Ephesians chapter 1, looking in verse number 18. Verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we come to the first appearance here in verse number 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of, there's that word, his power. This word, the greatness of his power, this is the dunamis or ability. And I failed to mention earlier, this word dunamis usually will refer to a miraculous power. The Bible says in Matthew 19 and verse 26 that with God all things are possible. We think of our God being a miracle-working God. We say that He is omnipotent, that He has all power. And so God is the one that is able to perform miracles. And by the way, the apostles that performed miracles, it did not come from their ability. Those miracles were still done and still accomplished through the power of the Almighty God. But here we see that this is referring to the dunamis power or the ability. And then we see in the end of verse number 19, so the greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. This is that word kratos or the word for strength. And of course we see that his strength is mighty. You know, you could have the power, the ability to lift some weights. For me, I'm not a very strong person. But you could walk into a place like Good Life Fitness or something like that and realize how weak your power really is compared to what other people can do. But the strength of God, His power is mighty. The mighty power that God has. And then nextly, we see in verse 21, it says, far above all principality and power. And this is that word exousia. And this is the word that talks about the authority. Far above all principality and power. And then in verse 21 as well, we see the word might, which is actually the word dunamis, again, that word ability. So we see these words used within that passage there, and just trying to get an understanding of what these words are, and then we'll see how we can, a little bit later on, make the application with them. Go to John chapter 19 and verse number 11 with me. John chapter 19 and verse number 11. In this verse, we see that Pilate is dealing with Jesus during his crucifixion trial. And Pilate makes a very bold statement. In verse number 10, it says, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Now, Pilate there makes himself a very strong man. To think, of course, we know Jesus Christ is God. He was God then. He's still God today. He says, I have the power to crucify thee and the power to release thee. And I love Jesus' response. Jesus answered in verse 11, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And here this word that Jesus is using is the word exousia, which has to do with authority. And Jesus says, look, you have no authority over me unless that authority be given to you by who? By God. He says, from above. And dear friend, may I remind you today that the power that you have in your life is given by God. The authorities that we have in position, whether it be in our parliament, our government, various political officials, in our local government, all of that power, that authority has been allowed to them, given to them by God. Jesus says you could have had no power except to be given thee from above. Matthew 28 and verse number 18. Matthew 28 and verse number 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here is that word again, exousia, or the word authority. We know this passage here to be the Great Commission. And the one that is giving it to us is the one that has all power or all authority. He's the one that gives authority. And so for us to take the gospel into the world, we are given the authority from the one that has all authority, the one that gives authority to mankind. So all power is given. Then Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, just before the church, the early church, was going to go out and see God work, see Jesus Christ, the ascension, after this statement he makes here, that ascension would take place. And yet Jesus told his disciples, those apostles there in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This word here is the word dunamis, that ability, or what we referred to the miraculous power. And my friend, every time that somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior through the preaching of the gospel, it's a miracle. Every time anybody is saved, anytime anybody is confronted with their sin and they trust Christ as their Savior, look, that is a miracle. And the Word of God, as Pastor said on Sunday, is still changing lives. It still makes a change. And Jesus said, you have the power, you have that miraculous power, you have that ability. By me, the one who says in Matthew 28, 18, I give you the authority. I am the one that has the authority. Take this power and go and be a witness and a light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 11, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 11, Colossians 1 and verse number 11, it says strengthened. Now this word strengthened is actually the word dunamis, again the ability. Strengthened with all might, and we're looking at the word here according to his glorious power. There is that word power, and that is the word kratos, or strength, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And so we're looking at the strength, the power that God gives to us. This is what I'm trying to establish here in the beginning. This power, whether it be authority, whether it be power or ability, or whether it be the strength of that power, all of it is given to us by God. No matter what we have accomplished in this human body, everything, the ability, the strength, the authority, comes from above. It comes from God, the creator of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The one that started it holds the authority. He holds the power in his hand. In all of these passages that we have read, we can see that ultimately our authority, ability, and strength come from the Lord. Now what we're going to do is go back into the Old Testament. You say the Old Testament wasn't written in Greek. I know that. We're going to look at the same principle we just looked at here in the life of a king in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And if you remember in our service a few Sundays ago, I preached from the book of Daniel here in chapter 2. And I want to look at a couple of verses in chapter 2 and then some verses in chapter 4 on King Nebuchadnezzar. And verse 37, Daniel, of course, is talking to the king about this vision that he had, the vision of that statue that represented the great empires. And verse 37, it says, thou, O king, art a king of kings. Now look, first of all, it says, for the God of heaven. For the God of heaven. So first of all, we see Nebuchadnezzar on his throne. Here Nebuchadnezzar is reigning. He is king. He is ruling over the land. But notice God's position. Is God on Nebuchadnezzar's throne? No. But where is he? Daniel says, for the God of heaven. Look, God is above. We just learned that the power is given from above, from God. It's kind of humorous at times when we think about mankind in comparison to the vastness of our universe. Still to this day, they have not found the edge of outer space. They continue to look, and as the telescopes go farther and the satellites go farther and farther out, as they continue to go to Mars and try and look for life, they're going to have to go to the next planet and the next planet and continue to look into the depths of space. And we soon realize how small we are. Daniel says, God in heaven. Dear Christian, I want to remind you today that the trial that you're facing, that this COVID situation, God's still in heaven. God's still ruling. God is still in that powerful position as Lord over all. And Daniel says, look, God's in heaven. But then he reminds him of these principles of power that we're talking about. He says, hath given thee a kingdom. Hath given thee a kingdom. The king was given a kingdom. You think about this. This was a place for him to rule. Look, how can you be a king if you don't have a place to rule in? Maybe you could start your own club and it could be just you in that club and you could be the ruler of that club and you could be in charge. Maybe you get a couple more people to join your club and let you be in charge of them. But you have to have a place to rule. You have to have a kingdom. And so Daniel says to the king, God gave you this kingdom. And then we see that God's given you power. The king was given power. And this word here in the Aramaic was the word kazin. This passage was, as I said, was written in Aramaic here in the book of Daniel, just a short section of the Bible that was not written in Hebrew or Greek. And this comes from the root word kasan, which means to hold in occupancy or to possess. To hold in occupancy or to possess. We're here in our church office tonight. We don't own this building, we rent it. Right now we are occupying this space. And reality is when our lease ends, they could say you're no longer able to be in that space. We are simply filling a space. We are putting it to use. I see this about the king, that there was a position, or this is a position to be held. And Daniel says to the king, he says, you've been given a place, a kingdom to rule in by God. You've been given this place as king or as ruler or authority by God. And then we see, it says, and strength. You've been given the kingdom, you've been given the power, and you've been given the strength. This is coming from the word that means might, or even authority or influence. And then lastly, we see the word honor, or glory, sorry, and glory. And I compare this to honor. The king was given honor. But where did these things come from? Daniel said, you have a place to rule by might or ability or strength with honor, all given by God. You say, no, he earned that honor. He earned that respect. No, that was given to him by God. Sadly, today we have in our political realm politicians that roam various areas and will have big parties and speeches and try and win the applause, win the acceptance of man. But ultimately, that praise, that honor, it comes from God. And this is what Daniel was telling King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, you've been given the place to rule. You've been given the position to rule. You've been given that strength or that ability, and you've been given the glory or the honor to rule. So we see Nebuchadnezzar on his throne, but secondly about Nebuchadnezzar, we see Nebuchadnezzar in the field. Now what changes for Nebuchadnezzar? He goes from his throne, he grows from that great position and gets out into the field, and life changes greatly for him in a way that I don't think any of us can relate to for King Nebuchadnezzar. So let's go to chapter 4 of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. God had used Daniel already to interpret the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. God is going to show a very clear message to Nebuchadnezzar in this dream. Another dream was interpreted for him. And when we look at verse number 19, it says, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him." This is before Daniel has told the king the dream. Daniel has received from the Lord what this dream is about. Daniel's just shocked. The Bible says that he was astonished for 1 hour and his thoughts troubled him. The king speaks to him and said, "Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee." Belteshazzar answered and said, "My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." Daniel here begins to tell the king about the dream and explain it. We won't take time to read the dream. But in verse 24, Daniel reminds the king of the position of where God is. Just like we saw in chapter 2, God, who's in heaven, the God of heaven. Here, verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon the Lord, my king. You'll notice in your Bible there that word Lord is a lowercase L. Of course, we know that's not speaking to the Lord that we would call our God. Lord here in the sense of a ruler or somebody that was worthy of respect. You said, "My Lord and King." Remember, this is a decree that is coming from the Most High, the one who holds that power supremely. It says in verse 25, "That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Now you think about this dream. Now some of you maybe have had some very strange dreams in time, and you've told people about that, and you thought, well, it's just a dream. But here, God is revealing a message, and Daniel says, "Look, king, this is what's going to happen to you. You are going to be driven from your throne. You're going to be sent out into the field. You're going to be living with the beasts of the field. You're going to eat grass like an oxen. Your fur, your body is going to get wet with the dew of heaven. Look, you're going to be sleeping outside. You're going to become like an animal." Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know if he really realized, if he maybe wanted to accept that this was truth. But Daniel warned the king in verse 27. He said, "King, you need to turn around from the way that you are living, the way that you are going. You need to turn away from it." Verse 27, he says, "O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility," or we might think calmness, or things just going well. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar did not change. He continued to live. And we see in verse number 30, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" A total contrast from what Daniel told him in Daniel chapter 2. This is coming from me. I've built it. It's the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Completely leaving out the God of heaven, that Most High God that gave him the ability, that gave him the throne, that gave him the kingdom. I've done it. Dear friend, if you're living in a place today where you're thinking, "I'm okay without God," please take note of this situation here. Please take note what is recorded in the scriptures and has been in there for thousands of years. It's truth. God can do the same thing to you. You say, "I'll never eat grass like a beast." Maybe not, but there's something else that God may do to you to bring you to a place of humility. Won't you bow the knee tonight and trust Him as your Savior? God will humble those who live in their power and will reign supremely. As we spoke at the beginning, God wants to remind you and I, look, this ability is not about you. It's about me. It's about my Spirit working in me. Lastly tonight, so we've looked at power defined or by definition, and then we looked at power of a king. And then thirdly and lastly tonight, we look at power in Jesus Christ. And let's go back to our main text there in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Power in Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians speaks of our position, of who we are in Christ as a Christian, as a believer, as a born-again believer, our position in Jesus Christ. We see phrases like, in Christ, that appears 10 times in the book of Ephesians. A phrase like, in whom, dealing with Christ, 6 times. And then, in the Lord, another 7 times. All of these appearing in the book of Ephesians in just the 6 short chapters that are in this book. But Paul wanted the Ephesian believers to know what they have in Jesus Christ. And dear friend, I hope you know what you have in Jesus Christ. Sadly, many Christians do not know. And God here has given us the ability to know some of what we have in Christ. And I don't really think that we'll truly know all of it until we get to heaven and see our redemption full and in completion there. We see in verse number 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, or light coming in to your eyes. It's almost like the light bulb comes on and you realize it. Finally, it clicks. And he says that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. The first thing that we can know that we have in Christ is hope. We live in a very distraught world right now. One that is looking for answers. One that is looking for a solution. One that is looking for an escape, a way out. And dear friend, there is hope in Jesus Christ. And if you will turn to Him and look to Him tonight, you will find that hope that we have found as His children. We have hope, the hope of His calling, that I have been called to be a Christian, that I have been called a child of God, that I have been called a son of God, as the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, that we have been made kings and priests, and we have a great position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it says, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Some of you may be able to relate to that word inheritance. Maybe you've been given something at the passing of a loved one, and maybe you were sad to see them go, but because of that you received maybe a great amount of wealth, or you received some land or other possessions that because of their passing you were in their will and you received that inheritance. My friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have far more than a nice house coming for you. You have far more than hundreds of thousands of dollars coming your way. And often we think of heaven in a material way, that I have a mansion there for me. I have streets of gold that I can see, and the sea of jasper, or the jasper walls that are there, and we think of all those material things, and that's what we envision. And yet think even more so about the inheritance of eternal life that I have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we want to focus on from this passage tonight is the third thing. It says that the exceeding greatness of His power there in verse number 19. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. This is that word dunamis, or the word ability, that miraculous power, and that what we looked at the beginning, that mighty power, or that strength. So we see our access to know what we have in Christ. And nextly, the working of God's mighty power. This power is then defined, or is then explained to us in verse number 20. It says, which He wrought in Christ. Which He wrought is to be active, or to be efficient, or to be effectual. How did we see this played out? How was the power of God working in Christ? Look, it says, when He raised Him from the dead. Look, I've never seen somebody come back to life. I've never been, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I've never been at a funeral and somebody stand up out of their casket and come back to life. Jesus Christ had that ability, and some people saw that in Lazarus, but then Jesus Christ Himself in the grave, the Bible says that God hath raised Him from the dead. That's a miracle. That is that miraculous power, that miraculous ability, the one who is omnipotent, the one who has all power to be able to raise Christ from the dead. And then nextly, to set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. I was reading a commentary by J. Vernon McGee through the Bible series. Maybe you're familiar with it. And he points out this powerful ability, yes, to raise God from the grave, but even more so, the ascension. When Jesus Christ would ascend into the clouds, look, he didn't have rocket fuel under him. He didn't have a NASA launch pad underneath of him. I don't know how it all worked out, but the Bible talks about how the disciples were caught by the angel and they're standing and gazing into the heavens, so they saw him go. I don't know how fast he went, but the fact is that he went, and he went back to heaven. He came to earth as a baby. That's powerful enough, but he went back to heaven in that form that the disciples saw him go. So God raised him from the dead in his power. God set him at his own right hand, and that alone to be in that position of the fact of completion, that he completed the redemption plan, and that position of authority at the right hand of God the Father. And then he hath put all things, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet. And then gave him to be the head over all things to the church. How was this power played out in Jesus Christ? We just saw it through five ways, or through four ways. He raised him from the dead. He set him there at his own right hand in heavenly places. He hath put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all the church. And then the last thing to look at in Ephesians 2 and verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your friend listening tonight, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, look, you have access to the same power. And this power is in us and can come through us. As Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That power that was wrought in the Lord Jesus Christ can come through our life. That position, that authority Jesus Christ has, that place of ability, that dunamis power, and that strength of power that Jesus Christ, that God Himself is omnipotent, that He has all power. Look, that is in us tonight as a believer. If you're listening tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't have it. I remind you that when you make it about you, you lose. This world that you may be living as an atheist or an agnostic, a skeptic, I don't know if God exists. I don't want to believe in Him. I don't want to live that lifestyle. You're doing it on your own, thinking you don't need the Lord. Our power to face every day, and that enemy we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, it comes from the Lord. The power comes from the Lord. He, God, is not just there to assist or help us. But He has already won. God has already won the battle, and we simply need to let God work. It's about us yielding that battle to Him and claiming that victory. Look quickly, and we're almost done, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy," this speaking of Christ, "He might destroy him that had the power of death." And who is that? That is the devil. I love in Ephesians chapter 1 where we see that Christ was seated on the throne, and it talks about far above principality and power. Those that think, "I am mighty," Jesus reigns supremely over all. And even death. Death is something that we cannot have victory over in our physical ability. People are trying to do it as best as they possibly can today by wearing a mask, by staying away from other people, by trying to stay clean and try to stay healthy, and I'm trying to stay alive, and people are fighting for their lives, but ultimately our life is a vapor and it appears for a little while and then it vanisheth away. It's but for a moment. Your friend, you don't know when life will end. You don't know when that heart will stop beating, when that blood will stop pumping, when you come to a place where possibly something in your body breaks down and you eventually face the doors of death. There's no escape. There's no way out. Jesus Christ, the Bible says here, that He through His death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. This is that word kratos, or strength. The one who is omnipotent, What do we learn happens to the power of the strength of death in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57? We see that it's defeated through Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you looking to the one that has all power? Dear Christian, are you looking to the Lord for that power that you need? There is victory. Or are you going to make it about you? And I say the flesh. There is defeat. You will lose. When you make it about you, when ministry becomes about you and what you can do, you will lose. Turn to the Lord. Victory is there. That's where the power is. That's where the power is that will change your life. You're a lost person listening, you don't know Christ as your Savior. That life-changing power is only found in Jesus Christ. Won't you come to Him today? Won't you turn to Him in repentance, brokenness over your sin, realizing there's a price to be paid and confess it, agree with God about your sin? Call out to Him, Jesus Christ. Ask Him for forgiveness and ask Him to save you. Ask Him for His blood to be placed upon your account as an atonement for your sin. And He will save you. He will save you. There is great power in our God. Dear Christian, do you experience that power? The Lord has challenged me about allowing His Holy Spirit to work my life. I don't know what all that means, and I don't even know how exactly to go about it. But I've been reading recently this book on revival by Oswald Smith and reading his journal and how he spent hours in prayer. You say, is it about the time? Not necessarily. But it's about recognizing the weakness, the human frailty, and our utter dependence upon the Lord. Anchor Baptist Church, we are going through this time of prayer and fasting, and we are seeking the Lord for His work in our lives personally, lives as families, our life as a church. And we need God's power. We desperately need God's power, that authority, that ability, and that strength. We need that from God. Dear Christian, I hope that the Lord has challenged you tonight.